Welcome to the Funding Moments Podcast.
Welcome to the Finding Moments Podcast. We are back and we are going on our second season of Finding Moments. And wow, what a journey. We've been doing this together as friends and I've had fun with it. What about you guys?
Yeah, definitely. We have stayed more connected because we have these moments together.
Mm-hmm, definitely. It's never something I ever would have thought of myself doing, but no, it's been great.
Started this when everything was so uncertain and everything felt like we just needed to kind of anchor in. We were sheltered in the house. We were trying to get our friends close and connect in any way we could. I do feel like we're coming back into the light and into the world. And I think one of the things that we wanted to really kick off the next series of podcasts was, how do we get to next? How do we find joy? I think we found it in ourselves and in our families, but how do we de-stress everything the last 18 months was and move on?
It's been a really interesting process. We're out in the Mountain West and we're back in school in person, and most things are open without a whole lot of restrictions and changes, but not everything. And it's still, it's in this strange limbo kind of place where it's kind of normal, but it isn't really. And stuff that used to be around before 2020 is still gone or reduced or just different. It's stressful because things are back, but kind of, and not really, and we're not used to it. It's just, it's odd.
We have that same kind of feeling here, and you know, I'm in the Midwest, but where you have some things that are going back to what they were before, more places open, more things you can go out and do. But I think that it's that stress, like you said, that kind of limbo is a good word for it, I guess. And then everyone else's stress added into it.
Yes.
And you try to rebuild and go back. And I was telling someone the other day, I was like, I feel like the whole country is depressed. Like, I just feel like as a group, we're all going through this depression together almost.
Everyone seems to have a much, much shorter rope. And so even two things at once is enough to send everybody just over the edge.
But how do you get back to that level of normal with having friends over, having dinner parties, having a night out? How do you go to a movie theater? I have a couple of friends and they're just going to stay in their house. They're not going to leave for a while. They're being extra cautious. I think everybody's going to deal with this in a different way and in their own time. Mm-hmm. Time is something that is only relative to what you feel. One of the things that we were talking about last week was trying to figure out, how do we break down the steps to try to get back to whatever the new normal is? Because we're coming out of the dark. We're coming out of anchoring in our homes. We're trying to get to next, be examples to our kids, be friends with our friends, be good kids to our parents, try to reconnect in a non-virtual way, because it's actually very, very weird to go in an office with people these days when you've seen them on the screen, but now you're face to face and you're like, I'm drawing a blank.
Things that you just said are really important, like in your own time and in your own way. And I think sometimes it's very hard when people are processing stressful situations or a sense of really grief in a way, because there's things we all felt like we lost, right? Sometimes we expect, well, you don't understand because you're not processing this the same way. But I think that that is really important to think about. Like, yes, it does have to be in your own way and in your own time. And really thinking about giving people, thinking about that when you're interacting with other people in that perspective, I think is really important, because some of the things that we can all do, there's some general things that everyone can do to really bring a sense of joy back to their lives, but they can all be done very differently.
There was an article that I found. I'm going to give the writer credit, Nicole Natalie, July 7th, 2020, and it was in Prevention Magazine. It's titled, How to Find Joy in Your Everyday Life. And this one connected to me because I almost feel like when you go into a social setting right now, you're somewhat putting on a show, a strong face for whoever you're with or with your kids, because you're trying to lead by example. And I think one of the things that we realized together when we connected a couple of weeks ago was that if a parent doesn't feel right, it's very hard to be authentic to your child. And I think there is a space here that we've got to take a step back and find our own joy and be okay with that and have permission with it. And what this article has done really well is broken it down into steps. So I kind of want to go step by step through what it's saying, and let's figure out like where we go with that. And if we can find that amongst ourselves, I think that that's something that we can teach our children to be resilient, to move forward.
I think too, remembering there is a difference between happiness and joy, that happiness is that feeling that you experience in the moment when something makes you happy, and joy is really an overall sense of well-being. Too focused on, I don't feel happy. Well, if you were happy all the time, you wouldn't get to experience all of these other emotions, but joy is just the sense of having joy in your life. And I think that that's kind of what we have to tap into, so that that's a kind of an ongoing feeling that moves you through your days, your life, your interactions with other people and with your children too.
Well, and that's perfect, because the number one thing on the list is look for meaning. While the events of 2020 sure make it hard, again, written last year, very relevant now, think about what you can learn from tough circumstances. If you're having a difficult time with the pandemic, try to find something meaningful about it. This is loaded on so many levels because there's so many things going on in one's life. Reduced time, furloughs, you have your kids at school, you've got all of a sudden a childcare situation, you can't go see your support structure. And these are all the things from the past. And I want to be clear, I want to move on to next. But finding meaning out of that, what do we want to hang on from that experience going forward? What good did you guys find out of it?
I think that, you know, when you go through major points in your life, they can make you reassess what's meaningful to you. And I think that that has happened for a lot of people, to go back and reevaluate what is meaningful to me. We tend to get stuck in our everyday experiences, routines, or responsibilities that drive us. And sometimes we lose sight of that. So I do think that is something that a lot of people have done, is just reflect, like, what is important? What do I really want to invest my time in?
I think for me, it was that forced slowdown that we all had to do. And no, you don't have to hustle the kids off to school in the morning. And no, you don't have to, you know, run around to 57 activities every afternoon, which ironically we're coming back to. So that's that's a whole nother arm of that conversation. We kind of got used to it, and we kind of got used to that slower pace, and that was good. I wish we could find some sort of balance, because it's definitely not balanced right now. But I think that, you know, home is okay. It's not all boring and chores and cleaning up. It can be okay.
Our youngest is an artist, art brain, very creative. And he literally had a draw off with me. It was a drawing competition, to where I would say, can you draw this? And sure, he drew it. And then he would throw something back at me and I would draw it. And I would draw it in a way he wouldn't. And he like looks at it and he's like, that's not as good as mine. I'm like, really? He's like, okay, I'm gonna do better. And then we were just competing with each other back and forth. But the downtime gave us a chance for connection that hadn't been there. And I think it was almost a reset and a recentering.
I think that's a good way to look at it. Like, what positives did come out of it that you want to hold on to? And how do we balance that as we go forward? I think a lot of people, kind of going back to what you were saying, Trisha, a lot of people really felt like they kind of focused on their home and creating home environments that were more versatile.
Yes.
And that also had, like, where they could come in and feel good in their home. You know, a lot of people have, no, not just redecorating, but like bringing plants into their home or making living spaces outdoors. All of those things, we really saw a lot of people take that and look for meaning in that, look for joy in that.
Number two, we're never going backwards. It's never going to be what it was. So what do we want it to be going forward? This is the opportunity. Think small picture. And this one just connected. If scrolling through Instagram leaves you wondering why you didn't marry the banker, like your college friend who now lives in the house the size of a palace, let it go. What brings you joy? Don't look for what brings other people joy. And don't assume, by the way, that that brings somebody else joy. I think bring it back, bring it centered to you.
I think, yeah, it is easy to get distracted by those things, right? If I just had this, I'd feel happier. That would make me feel good. A lot of times you have things already that if you focus on them will make you feel good. And the things that usually really have an impact on your life are the things that aren't material things, like time with your child. Time is a big one, right? Like how you use your time really has more of an impact than what you have.
The point of thinking small picture is a lot of the little moments of joy can build up over time and are cumulative and can be a great antidote to the micro aggressions that can happen through a course of a day that wear you down.
I think self-care can be done like that too. You know, you don't have to have necessarily 30 minutes sounds like luxury to me, 30 minutes every day just to have like that self-care. Sometimes like when you have a busy day, just making something out of your routine. The other day I had a really crazy day and I knew I was getting ready and my phone had already gone off like numerous times. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be a hard day. And like, I'm not going to get to take any time for myself. And while I was getting ready, just a very simple self-care thing. While I put on moisturizer and sunblock, I played, had Alexis play a little mindfulness thing. And I just closed my eyes. I did it slowly. I tried to like, just really be in the moment and think about self-care. And it really did make me feel different. It made me feel better just to take that moment.
Completely agree. I had a crazy day a couple of days ago. And I tried to put on one of my favorite songs in the car while I was waiting to pick up a kid. And I realized I probably need to find some different settings for my phone because I got like two or three text messages and a phone call while I was trying to listen to this 1 3-minute song. And I'm like, well, this is not achieving what I had in mind here.
You guys just skipped right ahead to straighten out your spiral, which I think the gist is when you're upset, you start spinning out of control. You're thinking of everything on your task list. We all have it. We got check, 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 check. Get to the end of the day. Now you're worrying about all the things you didn't get done. And then you have to add to tomorrow. The suggestion here is choose something that you like to do every day, like brushing your teeth, waiting for the coffee to brew, something that is always there built into your schedule, routine, and take that minute to just have gratitude. Just have that quiet minute to reflect. The article says, have a minute to just remember, hey, I am grateful for today. It could be worse. We don't have it so bad. And I think that this is really great advice to trying to recenter yourself, make the big things that aren't that big a little bit smaller.
Let me tell you, I love my sleep. So for me to get up every morning 30 minutes early, it has to be worth it.
Yes.
Before I interact with anybody in the house and I have my coffee and I go sit and I go read something, either I read a book that I'm reading or I do something that is just disconnected from what my whole day is going to be. And just having that changes my mindset so completely. And it feels so bad when I don't get that, that it's worth getting up early for me to do that. It just changes the whole outlook for my day. It's easy to have what I call a pile up these days because we're already under so much stress. So when small things happen, they feel bigger. Mm-hmm. And that's when I feel like, or maybe it's just because I feel like I'm spiraling sometimes in those moments, that's when I need to shut everything down. And it's really hard to do because when you feel that way, you want to react. And I'm very much like, I've got to fix the problem. Where's the solution? And sometimes the best thing to do is just shut everything down, take a break, remove yourself from the events for just a few minutes. And then when you go back, it doesn't seem so bad.
This goes to the next step. Make room for a passion. Licensed therapist and radio host, Jamie Bronstein. Your joy comes from what you feel passionate about and your passion is your purpose. Finding joy in life leads you to understand why you are here, what causes your life to be sustainable, meaningful, and purposeful.
Trisha, I think you found, maybe it's not your passion, but it's your child's passion.
Yes.
And it's bringing you joy.
Fair enough. Yeah. So there's two parts to that. But one is Scouts, and the other is this robotics competition that our oldest has become involved in. I have now found myself to be one of the leaders of our youngest's scout pack, seeing the results. And they're not like everybody earned all their badges and, you know, advanced on and blah, blah, blah. It's a lot more subtle than that. It's turned into, we're becoming more of a community. And that's the part that I'm really, really excited about, is it's turned into, hey, we have this problem. Who in the pack can help? And it's starting, it's a very slow process, but it is starting to yield some results. And that's exciting. The robotics team came up very last minute. Our tournament is a week from today, and it's turned into a lot more of a time investment. It's kind of stressful because we're rookies at the whole thing and we don't really know what we're supposed to do or what's expected of us. This small group of kids, there's only 5 or 6 of them, that were not friends before we started, and they are now, and they're having fun during their breaks, and they're really starting to take ownership of what they are expected to do. The moms who are arranging everything are starting to become friends. And so that's huge. Like you said, Linnell, it's not necessarily my bag, but it's definitely the kids' bag. And that is exciting to me, and it does bring me joy.
Now, we're not on video, but I can see you both smiling here, and the joy is coming out just by talking about these steps in real time. I wish I could share that with you. Not yet. We're not doing a podcast on video, but it is actually happening as we go through these steps.
I think that that's a cool thing about having children, is that you can experience joy through your child. It doesn't necessarily have to be your passion, but they can introduce you to new things, and you enjoy it because they're enjoying it so much.
Set a goal outside of your comfort zone. Does podcast qualify?
Yeah, I would say so. Anything that involves public speaking or anything like that is way outside my comfort zone. I think that's a little harder, because it's almost like a challenge. You know, because we tend to avoid anything outside our comfort zone, right? So seeking something outside your comfort zone is, you know, not as readily available. Or maybe I'm just the escape avoidance type person. But I think, Chad, you pushed us to do this outside of our comfort zone. And I think we have all gotten something out of it. And it is something that we look forward to. And, you know, for us just to be together and have that time to talk together. I know I do. And then I think too, it's kept us more mindful about the things that we all value. I mean, the reason we came together to do this is because we have some values that are in common and important to us. And I think that that has kept us really centered. I mean, when we meet, that's what we talk about. And I think it helps us live that in our lives too. As far as like trying things out of your comfort zone, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be wildly out of your comfort zone. It can also just be trying something new. There is a lot of research about how when we try new things, that we are actually helping our brains develop and grow. There's actually studies that show it's a way to prevent dementia, trying things that are new. It also helps increase flexibility and flexible thinking when we do this, because we're using that part of our brain. And that's definitely something we can all benefit from right now, is flexible thinking.
So the next one, and this one really centers on finding moments and our ethos, be present. Basically, we spend so much time looking at the past or the future. We're not in the moment. I have taught bad habits to our kids. I'm trying to unwind it. Pull the headphones out if you're talking to somebody. Be in that moment and really listen. Don't look at your phone. Put it down. If you really want to have an engaging, meaningful connection that will bring you happiness, you have to be in the moment. And if you have that moment, that can bring you joy later, because you're going to be able to connect to it, remember it.
I tend to always worry about what's next instead of enjoying what's in front of me.
We all do a lot of thinking about what's ahead. And while obviously you need to be able to plan and have organization in your life to feel good, if you always are thinking there, you're also causing yourself a lot of worry, because what if it doesn't go right? What if this doesn't happen? What if I can't get all these things done? And then we're living in a state of worry and we're not enjoying what's happening in the moment.
That's me.
It's me too, honestly. I have to be really, really mindful not to do that.
Confronting your past. Ruminating about a past work mistake is one thing, but it may be that you're past suffering from a trauma that requires more attention. Negative experiences and pain from the past can create barriers to accessing joy. Bronstein says, doing the work to get beyond those barriers is hard, but it's worth it. So give yourself permission to find a good therapist or counselor. By healing the past, evolving, growing, and thriving, you can live life from your true self fully in your joy. That's loaded.
It is. I wish I could remember the psychologist's name to attribute this to, but I love this phrase. You have to name it to tame it. And I love the idea that like, it's about not living in the past or living in negative emotions, but accepting those emotions and then moving forward. But until you accept that, if you're just avoiding and hiding from processing something, that isn't healthy.
Choose authenticity. It's easy to get wrapped up in the performative nature of social media. Ask yourself, are you living to please others or are you living to genuinely want to be? Choosing your authentic self will help you achieve joy. So we were looking at a video last night and it was the new Ratatouille display exhibit at Epcot Center in Disney World. And we like to peek and see the launches and we're looking and the entire video, Trish and I were getting frustrated because they never actually showed the ride or going in and giving you the tour. It was all about how to take a photo of yourself in front of all these different positions to have the best Instagram selfie. is that where we're at right now to where the reality is your picture or is the reality, I want to actually be there?
There's an addictive quality to it. And it's easy. It's real easy to be like, oh, wow, look at so-and-so. Look at those family pictures. We should have family pictures. Do I want family pictures of my own volition or do I want them so that I could post them?
I think that, well, social media is a great escape, right? Like you can fall into a rabbit hole of TikTok for hours. And part of it is the humor, right? It feels like you laugh. There's funny things to see. And then there's other people that you're like, oh, I wish I lived in that beautiful home or wow, look at them on their vacation. That's amazing. And I think that it is very, there is that element of escapism to it, but it also removes you from your life. So you're not putting the energy into your life. You're just dreaming about other people's lives. And then you get into that. Well, that's what I need. You know, that's what I want it to look like. And really, you know, you can have your own life that meets your needs and meets your family. You just have to redirect the energy to it. And I'm not saying don't do that. I mean, I have lost hours to TikTok. I admit it.
So Trish, number 9, volunteering.
Yes. Volunteering this whole scout thing is all volunteer. I mean, it costs money to do it, but it is worth it, I think. The benefits that I have seen in both our sons from taking part in this program are massive. Our oldest, as we speak, is on a 15-mile hike with his troop, which is a requirement for a merit badge. But if you had told me 6 months ago that he was going to be doing this, I would have laughed at you. There's no way. So the stretching of your kids is huge. The new people that we've met who come from diverse backgrounds and other parts of town that we're not as familiar with is awesome. The experiences that even the young kids can get with other members of their class and other classes and other age groups is huge. So the benefits are there, whether it's Scouts or your local food pantry or your religious organization or, you know, whatever cause you want to support. Is it a hassle? Sometimes, absolutely. Wrangling other adults to get them to do something for which they are not paid is not easy. I will attest to that.
You know what, though? It's infectious. And that, I think, is the point.
It is.
It's the pay it forward concept. A couple of our most popular posts that people will go find and repost that I've done weeks ago. One is, when you close your eyes, what moment will you see? Well, that has a way to connect and center within yourself. What is in your mind? What brings you a moment of pause and peace? But the other one is, what moment will you create for someone else today? What moment will you create? That is passing it on and paying it forward. And I think volunteering really does do that. And that is something that, if we do it, our kids will see it, then they will do it. And this is something that can just be passed on from family to family, generation to generation. And it is infectious. And when you do good, you just feel good doing it. So you want to do it again to get that feeling.
I think that too, what kind of what you're saying, Chad, makes it, I think that a lot of times people don't volunteer because it's one more commitment and they don't know how to handle all the commitments they already have on their plate that are must-dos, like work and taking care of your children. Those are not optional. And I think that it's very hard for people sometimes to make room or have the room to give to volunteering. But I think that if you look at it, it doesn't have to be, I'm committed to do this once a month, or I'm going to be part of this organization. You can volunteer to open the door for someone, and you can have that same exchange of feelings that you did something for someone. You can volunteer to pick the kids up, you know, your friend's kids up, and like the Halloween, I picked them all up. Another parent took them about. I picked them up and did the carpool to get everyone home. Little things like that are giving to other people. And when you do that, that gave those other families time, right, that they wouldn't have had. And I think just thinking, like, it doesn't have to be volunteering on a grand scale. You can literally volunteer your time in very small ways and get something out of it.
The little moments count, they add up. The big things are also good. Show our kids. I think volunteering at its nature is giving your time to someone else. And if you can boil it down to being that simple, I think that that is, it literally can be infectious and bring you joy. And Linnell, you said a must do. I think if you can make that a fun thing, then it prioritizes.
It does. It definitely makes the must do's a lot more enjoyable when there's fun added to it.
The next one is reconnect with nature. I will work outside. I will take my laptop outside. I would prefer that from being inside, especially not wanting to look backwards, but being inside for the last 18 plus months, all I want to do is get out and have fresh air.
I will randomly find myself in the backyard. I don't even have any garden work that I need to do. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm outside again.
I'm more of a, I'm very cold. I guess I'm temperature sensitive. I don't want it too hot. I don't want it too cold. I want it just right. So for me, you know, I love the natural light though. Like, and there's so many things, like science, you know, science can tell you how important that light is to your mental health and your well-being. And for me, I think, like, even if you don't have a wonderful backyard that you can go out and enjoy, you guys have an amazing, you know, view out of your backyard. I think that just doing small things like moving a favorite chair next to the window so that when you're reading, you're getting light, moving your desk in front of a window, all of those things are ways that you can still kind of bring the outdoors in, so to speak, and still get a benefit from that also.
Definitely. The article mentioned the fact that, you know, for those who are city dwellers or shift workers and they can't get outside, even looking at pictures or photos of the outdoors can help. So switch up that screensaver to some outdoor scene that you really like, and that can help.
We sit on our front porch in the evenings, and we try to do it every Sunday evening, sit on our front porch, and we do it as it's dusk and we see the neighbors walking their dogs or out with their kids. And one of the things I love are the sounds at night, like when you can hear frogs and
cicadas.
I do find that sound comforting. I don't know if it's something from, like, growing up and visiting my grandparents' farm, I think, and all of those sounds, but I really do enjoy that. And I just enjoy, you know, just being out there. We just sit out there and hang out until the sun goes down.
all of your senses. Something can give you a moment, a memory, or bring you joy. That smell of an apple pie in a kitchen, or that sound of crickets outside. And I do miss that from our time when we lived in St. Louis, Linnell, because we don't have that sound here. We have coyotes and other things. So there's those memories that when you go back, you're like, oh, I miss that. Just triggers.
It is very true. When spring comes, I'm going to plant marigolds and enlist my daughter into helping me keep them alive. Because when I grew up, we would go visit my aunt and she had marigolds everywhere. And I love the smell. It brings me back to those memories of those summers as a child.
Opportunities for laughter when you're going into memories as a child. Children can teach us to laugh. We forget this as adults.
I think that, you know, laughter obviously is a way we express happiness and we express joy. And so I think it is really important to find that. And I think sometimes as parents, like we were talking about finding joy in your children earlier, but I think that we get sometimes like we have to make dinner. We have to make sure they get their homework done. Those are not necessarily the fun things that we enjoy as parents. They're the things that, you know, we are obligated to do to care for our children, but focusing on the experiences with your children in those moments, I think you can find humor and you can find laughter in all of those things.
Well, and it has a medical healing nature to it. It releases endorphins. It helps you heal. It helps you process. And there's just nothing's better than spontaneous laughter when somebody just says something so off the wall that you're just done. You can't control it. And you get that, you know what I'm talking about, Trish, that explosion of just laughter and joy for that minute that it hurts. It makes your belly hurt. You need that. You needed that in that moment.
Stuck laughing.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. And it just hurts. And it's so good.
It's amazing how it gets you through hard things too. Like you can use humor to handle situations that are really tough and it will pull you through.
Kind of put a cap on this. Seek out positive people. This is so important. And I think what we're trying to do is get the negativity out of our life. Be done. Yes. Like literally surround yourself by people that will lift you up, support you, and just get rid of the negative energy. And that can go from turning off the news to actually people in your circle. Just be positive.
I deliberately don't turn on the news, which is probably ultimately to my detriment. But yeah, but I'm noticing it more and more now that we're, you know, interacting with more people on a more regular basis. There are definitely those that I am more drawn to because they are more positive and consequently more pleasing to be around. And those who are always a stress case or freaking out about X, Y, and Z, I'm trying to pull back from. Not always a choice.
It's almost like the balance between media too, that balance with people. And I, you know, there's a lot to be said for that saying, surround yourself with good people. It does make a difference in your life.
Yeah.
And learning how to set those boundaries so that you can curb the interactions with people that are in their own spiral, so to speak.
Well, I think it's also important to find people in your circle that aren't in your daily task circle, not in your industry, not in your job, not in your particular volunteer group, whatever it may be. Find people that are different because that will bring you joy as well. And the fun is in the difference because we have some friends that don't do what we do on a daily basis and they think it's fascinating. And we're like, we think what you do is fascinating. And then you can kind of get that positivity and you remember why you do what you do.
Yeah. And when you're talking about it, you kind of refine that passion for the vocation you picked. I think there is also a lot of research about making sure that you have at least one friend outside of work. It's very hard in our society, I think, for us to develop friendships outside of work because work is a very large part of most people's lives. But having a friend outside of work or friends outside of work actually helps you recharge. It's very healthy. And it is when you look at, you know, self-care, that is one of the recommendations you'll often see, have a friend outside work.
this was so good. I'm actually more joyous now. And the smiles, I think that this is very healthy for us as well. And this is the direction that we're going to go on the next series of podcasts. And we'll deep dive into some of these. And there's so many articles that are variations off of this. So we'll post these. But to recap, finding joy is not easy. It's on your own timeline. But let's look for meaning. Think small picture. Recenter. Straighten out your own spiral. Make room for a passion, like something that you love. So important. Set a goal outside of your comfort zone. Be present. Confront your past. Choose authenticity. Be authentic as a human. Volunteer. Reconnect with nature. Make opportunities for laughter. Seek out positive people. This does not have to go in order. This is all connected to itself. It can be centered in your family. We're never going backwards, but it is time to go forwards. What's the new normal, and what do you want to keep, and what do you want to improve on? That's life. That's where we go.
I think really looking at this as being a long-term thing, like you want joy in your life, and that is really a series of small things. It's not like you have to make a big event or a big change in your life. You can actually take those small moments you already have and revisit them and find joy in them.
Thank you for your time, Linnell. Miss you in person, but we love having these opportunities. It brings us joy. Thank you for joining Finding Moments podcast. If you like us, follow us. You know where to find us.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. We'll connect with you soon.